Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Listeners, I think you will recognize this noise. That, of course, the familiar high-pitched sound of some of the most modern subway cars pulling into the station. Hear the Word, a nonprofit global initiative that aims to prevent hearing loss, measured the decibel levels at various noisy spots in the city, including a number of subway platforms. And it turns out that the number one noisiest public place that they measured was the F, V, B, and D subway platform at Bryant Park. It reached a deafening 93 decibels. That's as loud as standing next to a lawnmower. But for city dwellers, it's expected, right? We live in New York. It's loud. So what? Well, it turns out that hearing loss is very common and often overlooked as a serious health issue. So joining me now is Dr. Craig Casper, Chief Audiology Officer at the Audio Help Associates of Manhattan. He founded the Columbia University Center for Hearing Conservation, one of the first preventive hearing health and wellness programs designed for performing artists. Dr. Casper, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
So the subway platform at Bryant Park reached 93 decibels. People don't always know what those numbers mean. What decibel level is considered harmful?
Just to put that into perspective for you, when we talk about the decibel scale, we talk about a scale of volume. It runs anywhere between 0 to 140 decibels. 60 decibels is considered a conversational level of speech. 30 decibels might be a whisper. 120 decibels might be a jet plane taking off right next to your ear. So I'll try to put that into perspective in terms of the subway noise at 93 decibels.
How does that compare to, say, a rock show? Since you consult performing artists, I think a lot of people, at least from the baby boom generation, will think of Peter Townsend of The who was a rock musician. They're going to play at the Super Bowl in the halftime show. But Peter Townsend has very famously suffered a lot of hearing loss from being a rock musician.
Sure. I think even The Who went on record as the loudest band on record in the Guinness Book of World Records, if I'm not mistaken. How does that compare? Well, 93 decibels is something that we definitely shouldn't be exposed to for any extended period of time. But I want to come from a point of not being an alarmist. This is something that we're definitely exposed to on a regular basis. I want to come from a point of education. We're not exposed to 93 decibels all day long. And the reality is that as long as we're not exposed to sounds above 85 decibels for an 8-hour day, we're not really going to start causing any great harm to our hearing. We do definitely have to be mindful of the 93 decibel point, though.
But that's a great point, because if we're standing on the subway platform for just a couple of minutes, we hope it's just a couple of minutes, before the train comes, and then you're off to the rest of your day, does it matter that we gasp when we hear 93 decibels on that 6th Avenue subway platform?
Well, I think it's wonderful is that it's actually put an air of caution in all of us. We're not really all that mindful about our hearing, and things such as these noise studies are starting to bring it to the forefront, to the front of our minds. I don't think that we have to sit there and be overly concerned about a split second of 93 decibel sound, although some studies have definitely measured the subways being louder. One peer-reviewed study measured it around 101, 102 decibels, even some bus stops. But it is for a split second of time. The smartest thing to do, and we'll probably talk about this in a little bit, is just be mindful of that split second exposure and what we need to do during that split second.
During that split second, go ahead.
We might want to just stick our fingers in our ears. That's the most wonderful hearing protection that we've been given. And I see a lot of people actually doing that on the streets when a siren, an ambulance comes by, or when this train comes into the station, just putting our fingers in our ears.
What do you do? Do you wear earplugs walking around the city or anything like that?
Definitely not. I think that's overkill. I think that we definitely have to wear hearing protection in environments that are noisy, whether we have an occupation that has a noisy component to it, or if we are going to a concert. Without a doubt, we definitely need to wear hearing protection, but I do not recommend to anyone wearing hearing protection throughout the day walking around the city streets.
Other places on the list compiled by Hear the World, by the way, is a nonprofit funded by Phonak, which is a private hearing aid company. So Hear the World did this survey of the noisiest places in New York City, and besides that 6th Avenue subway platform at 42nd Street, they have the corner of 42nd and 5th. I guess that's right outside by the main branch of the public library, 87 decibels. On the West Side Highway, 83 decibels, roll up the windows. Herald Square, 78 decibels. And there aren't even cars in Herald Square anymore with the mayor's changes. Times Square, same thing, 76 decibels. Union Square, across from Whole Foods, 74 decibels. And that's not even on a subway platform.
Sure. You know, these levels are definitely not surprising necessarily. We're in a city where there's millions and millions of people, tons of cars. There's going to be some sort of an ambient level in the background. The thing that is interesting, though, is that, and I only not only think about the hearing health perspective of this, but chronic low-level noise also has a significant effect on our physiology. It increases our blood pressure, our stress levels. So these are the types of things we also have to think of in addition to the potential for hearing loss that's cumulative from noise over the course of time.
And you're affiliated with Hear the World?
I am a clinical spokesperson for Hear the World. I'm not compensated. I'm a volunteer, and I have been for the past 3.5 years.
And you founded the Columbia University Center for Hearing Conservation, and you're chief audiology officer of the Audio Help Associates Group of Manhattan. And listeners, this Hear the World survey didn't take the entire city into account, so give us a call. Tell us what you think is the noisiest place anywhere in our listening area. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. People think Midtown Manhattan. Maybe it's somewhere where you are in New Jersey, and there's something about that spot that makes it super noisy, or in Connecticut or on Long Island. 212-433-WNYC, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We can also take your audiology questions. You've written about how young people are experiencing levels of hearing loss normally observed in much older adults. You say that 65% of those with hearing loss are under the age of 65. That's an increasing stat. So should we be less concerned about the noise on the subway platform and more concerned about our iPods?
I think we have to look at this more holistically, yes. It's not just the exposures from our environment necessarily, but you know, there was an interesting study done by the CDC a number of years ago that actually told us that about 13% of 6 to 19-year-olds have measurable noise-induced hearing loss. Now, noise-induced hearing loss is the number one preventable cause of hearing loss, and the fact that almost 13% of our preteens and teens have hearing loss, that's significant. But yes, we have to really be mindful of our exposures of what we're listening to through our iPods as well, and our MP3 players, not just to pick on Apple, just to be clear of that.
And how do you know if it's too loud?
Well, there have been a couple of studies. Some of my very good friends up in Boston have done some very, very good studies across the board on all MP3 players, have measured the output of those MP3 players. We know that we definitely don't want to listen to our MP3 players at 100% of the volume. Anywhere between 50% and below, we can listen carefree for the majority of the day. I have this kind of carefree listening zone that I tell all of my patients and friends about. Anywhere between 60 to 70% of the full volume bar, and I'll use the iPod as an example because probably the majority of people have an iPod, you can listen pretty much all day long without fear of causing any significant hearing loss. But we have to take into consideration, especially in New York City, the noise levels in our background and in the environment. If there's a constant hum of 80 decibels on a subway platform or subway train, let's say, we have to listen to our MP3 players at a level that's greater than that. That is where I'm most concerned, because we're going to start putting ourselves at risk because we have to compete with the ambient noise in our environment.
Does the type of headphone matter? You and I are sitting here wearing professional studio headphones, which are cups that entirely go over the ears. The lightweight headphones that people used to wear walking around the street, you know, still go on the ear, outside the ear with a little bit of foam. That's a little bit less insulation than what we're wearing in the studio right now. What's, of course, ubiquitous now is the earbuds, which go inside the ear. Are any of those three better than the others?
I'm so happy you asked that question, because there's been a lot of misconception about that. It really doesn't matter what type of headphone you use. What matters is how loud you listen to your music and for how long. So the volume, it could come from an outside source such as a speaker, any type of headphone. It doesn't matter. But if it's long enough and if it's loud enough for a long enough period of time, you are at risk for sustaining some degree of hearing loss.
Melinda in Prospect Heights has a loudest place in New York City. Hi, Melinda.
Good morning. No doubt the school cafeteria with kindergartners.
I think that's a wonderful example there. My wife is actually a school teacher, and she has, I can say, countless amounts of time complained about the noise levels in her classroom and the school cafeteria. Now, I don't know of any studies that have necessarily measured the noise levels.
Now, you have a decibel meter that you probably carry around with you. Can't you go to a kindergarten cafeteria?
I could, and you know, my wife laughs at me because there is an app that's a pretty consistent and very accurate sound level meter, and I find myself checking it out. We were in a restaurant, my wife... We were at a restaurant with a couple of friends a couple of weeks ago in the meatpacking district, 101 decibels in the middle of dinner.
Wow.
So
nice, quiet dinner with friends, intimate conversation, not.
Not, definitely not.
Melinda, thank you. Well, related to that, here's a question on our webpage from Jamal in Manhattan. What about children? Is 93 decibels too much for a child, even if it isn't for an adult?
There's no evidence that says that children are more susceptible to hearing loss than adults. A child's hearing system is fully developed. The component of the anatomy that we're most concerned about when it comes to noise or music-induced hearing loss are those little hair cells inside of our inner ear. And anybody at any age is susceptible. Now, there are some people that might be a little tougher than others, and some studies are showing us that. But on the whole, it doesn't really matter what age we are. We're all exposed and we're all susceptible.
Look at all these coming in having to do with schools. Celia in Staten Island has another one. Hi, Celia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Our 10-year-old public school, you know, they have DJs come in and do dances for the kids. And, you know, parents stand next to each other and literally scream at the tops of our voices, and we can't hear each other. It's, you know, I've asked the DJs to lower the volume. The principal is there, you know, the teachers, everybody's young, you know,
it's a great point, and it's an educational setting. So maybe if we're taking the salt out of our kids' diets in the cafeterias, we should be taking the dangerous level of noise out of the school dances.
Celia, I'm so happy that you brought this point up because, you know, it's our responsibility as adults to educate our children. We have to not only talk the talk, but we have to walk the walk. And when we're in an environment such as a school dance, where no doubt the sound levels coming out of the speakers is going to be at a level that can harm our hearing, if you have to scream over that sound, you have to take it upon yourself to talk to the DJ to turn that down. But on top of that, hearing protection in those environments, even if they won't turn it down, we have to educate our kids to use hearing protection as well.
Leslie in the East Village, what's your noisiest spot in New York?
My noisiest spot is the juniors department at Macy's. I've had to shop for work, and I started carrying earplugs with me to Macy's in particular, in the juniors department and the athletic department.
Why the juniors department?
Because they have the music blaring so loud that you
right.
have to scream at salespeople
for the customer
who
space.
Usually don't hear you.
How about that? And as a matter of fact, before you go, I'm glad you brought Macy's up, Leslie, because Dr. Hear the World, is giving free hearing screenings at the Macy's at Herald Square until January 19th. Are you affiliated with that?
I'm not quite sure it's connected to the comment that was just made by the caller.
only because she was at Macy's, that's all.
Yes, Hear the World is showing some wonderful pictures by Brian Adams, who musician. He's also the official photographer for Hear the World. He's taken pictures of a number of different celebrities, Harry Belafonte, Joss Stone, Common, you name it. And some of his work will be on display at Macy's Herald Square until the 18th. And they'll also be doing free hearing screenings if you're concerned about your ears.
Let me get two 30-second calls in here. Tony in Fort Lee, following up on the school dances. Tony, you're a DJ?
I am a DJ. That's what I do for a living. My company, our bread and butter is school dances, and I advertise to the schools that we will not blast the music. We will put the speakers on the floor, not at ear level, and we actually have a lock on the speakers so our DJs can't go over a certain volume on our speaker systems as kind of just a precautionary lock to so they don't hurt anybody's ears and things like that. You know,
that's a good policy. It sounds like not everybody has that. And we'll let Bob in Montville squeeze in one more headphones questions. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. I was curious about noise canceling headphones. How effective are they, and how expensive are they?
Wonderful question. There's noise canceling and sound isolating. Noise canceling headphones work by actively canceling out low frequency information, so it has the effect that some of the ambient noise in your environment is lower, so you can ultimately turn your volume down lower. sound isolating essentially puts an earplug in your ear with your headphone poked through it, so it actually physically isolates your ear from the outside surroundings. I prefer sound isolating because it doesn't have an artifact. And I can tell you that they're both comparable in cost. They both are very effective. And the key with that is, especially if you're in a noisy environment, it really allows you to turn your volume down, and over time, it's going to save your hearing.
Dr. Craig Casper, Chief Audiology Officer of the Audio Help Associates of Manhattan. And quick reminder again, free hearing screenings at the Macy's at Herald Square until January 19th. Herald Square itself, one of those top five noisiest spots in New York City, according to this new survey by Hear the World. Doctor, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, the introduction of 3D television on The Simpsons and off.